The following announcement has been paid for by Perched on the Top Rope.
This is Filthy Tom Lawler, and you're listening to the baddest show on the planet, Perched on the Top Rope.
Welcome everyone to Perched on the Top Rope. I am your host, former Dirt Sheet writer from Ringside News, Sports Kita, The Daily DDT, and more. This is On This Day in Professional Wrestling History. And ladies and gentlemen, today is December 7th. And we have a few birthdays first that we are going to wish a happy birthday to. Ladies and gentlemen, today is John Moxley's birthday. Happy birthday, John Moxley, born in 1985. The man is 39 years old. We'd like to wish Sonny a happy birthday, who's currently in jail. And presumably the rest of her life, born 1972. We also have Mr. Curtis Hughes, Big Cat, WCW, man who's done it all, WCW, WWF, ECW, he's been part of it all. Trained a lot of great wrestlers. And rest in peace, happy heavenly birthday to the ravishing Rick Rude, who is probably looking down at all of us and thinking, thank you for listening to Perched on the Top Rope, you sweat hogs. Now, those are your birthdays on December 7th. Happy birthday to all of them. Let's get into a couple of things that happened on this day, December 7th. Now, a lot has happened. I'm only going to talk about two particular things today. It's December 7th, 1997, and the WWF holds its first pay-per-view since the Montreal Screwjob at the WWF Survivor Series won month prior. So, WWF decides to hold a pay-per-view. WWF D-Generation X in your house. It took place at the Springfield Civic Center in Springfield, Massachusetts. And what a pay-per-view it wasn't, I guess is the best way to put it. In the opening match, you had the inaugural WWF Light Heavyweight Championship match, to which there was a tournament for the new WWF Light Heavyweight Championship, and there was this big tournament that went on. Brian Christopher, being Jerry Lawler's son, made it to the finals, and you had Taka Michinoku. The match ended when Christopher attempted to give Taka Michinoku the Tennessee Jam, which was a leg drop off the top rope, and he missed, enabling Michinoku to hit Christopher with the Michinoku driver and get the pin and get the win. Now, the second match of the night saw a six-man tag as the Disciples of Apocalypse took on Los Borrocos, and Los Borrocos would win with a leg drop from Miguel Perez Jr. There was a big feud going on, and it was at the time, this is WWF, these were a racially tensed driven storylines here. And, you know, it had, like, gang mentality to it type feel, you know, biker club versus Los Barrocos, which, you know, it is what it is. It was racially driven stereotypes. It was the attitude era. Vince McMahon had very well made us well aware of what was going on. And in the third match was a tough man match between Mark Marrow and professional boxer Butterbean. The match ended in the fourth round when Marrow gave Butterbean a low blow, causing a disqualification. Miro then attacked Butterbean with a stool until being driven away from the ring. This would be the first disqualification of the night. Now, the fourth bout saw the WWF Tag Team Champions, the New Age Outlaws, defend their titles against the Legion of Doom. The match ended when Henry Godwin came to the ring and hit Animal with a slop bucket. After, Hawk seized said bucket and used it to hit Billy Gunn. This resulted in a disqualification, and the New Age Outlaws retained their championships. Now, this is back-to-back DQ finishes. Something very rarely done. And now you know why. They're crap finishes. The fifth bout was a boot camp match between Sergeant Slaughter and Triple H. Now, Sergeant Slaughter, who had been working with the WWF as like the general manager of Raw, and DX obviously continuously giving him a hard time, which led to this match. The match ended when Sergeant Slaughter applied the Cobra Clutch to Triple H, only for Triple H's bodyguard Chyna to give him a low blow, enabling Triple H to hit Slaughter with the Pedigree and get the victory. Now, the next match was a singles match between Jeff Jarrett and The Undertaker. There was a stipulation added to the match that the winner would become the number one contender for the WWF Championship. And Jarrett won the match by disqualification after Kane entered the ring to attack The Undertaker. Kane would chokeslam Jeff Jarrett after he got in his way, to which Kane left the ring. Jarrett attacked The Undertaker from behind, only to receive another chokeslam. It's actually pretty interesting. I actually did not know that Jeff Jarrett won a number one contenders match in the WWF. I did not know about that. Now, the seventh bout saw the WWF Intercontinental Champion, Stone Cold Steve Austin, defend his championship against The Rock. The match began when Austin, driving a pickup truck to the ringside, brawling with the Nation of Domination. D'Lo Brown took a back body drop onto the truck's windshield, and I remember the truck's windshield breaking when that happened. That was a pretty big highlight of that match, actually. And towards the end of the match, Austin accidentally gives a Stone Cold Stunner to the referee. Austin then gave the Stone Cold Stunner to The Rock to pin him to retain the title after a second referee came down to make the pinfall. And this brings us to our main event, which saw WWF Champion Shawn Michaels defend his championship against Ken Shamrock. Now, as I had stated, this all took place due to the Montreal Screwjob. It was the main feud heading into
save big and everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Performance. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a premium interior paint and primer in one with a top lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. D-Generation X in your house as Shawn Michaels and Ken Shamrock fought over the WWF Championship. The feud started after Bret Hart left the WWF to join rival company World Championship Wrestling, to which after the infamous Montreal Screwjob in Survivor Series. Shamrock, who recently returned from injury, which was caused by the Nation of Domination in September, was named the number one contender to Shawn Michaels' WWF Championship. And on an episode of WWF Raw is War on December 1st, Michaels taunted Shamrock, saying that he would not be able to break Michaels' ankles in reference to Shamrock's signature move, the ankle lock. Well, later that night, Michaels and his DX teammates, China and Triple H, humiliated and assaulted Jim the Anvil Neidhart. This would be the last time Jim the Anvil Neidhart would be on WWF Raw, for after this night, he would go to WCW, to which DX would spray paint WCW on Jim the Anvil Neidhart's back. And Ken Shamrock and Sergeant Slaughter would come out to help save Shamrock, which set up the matches for the boot camp match for Slaughter and Triple H, and set up the match for Shawn Michaels and Ken Shamrock. Now, this match, Shamrock was doomed from the beginning. At one point, Shamrock applies the ankle lock to Michaels, to which DX members Triple H and China attack Shamrock before HBK could submit. This would result in, no surprise, Shamrock winning by disqualification, meaning the title did not change hands. Following the match, Owen Hart made his return to the WWF, attacking Michaels before retreating into the audience. Now, this attack was due to the fact that Bret left. Jim Neidhart had just left. Bulldog was on his way out, not on TV, which left Owen Hart from the Hart Foundation left. And as far as the show itself, there was way too many disqualification finishes. You had 8 match with half of the matches ending in a DQ. The opening match with Takemichi Noko and Brian Christopher was hands down the best match of the night. However, there was a lot of gimmicky matches if you count the stuff with Butterbean, and you count the boot camp match, which was, in all honesty, really just any other match. There was just a lot going on for this pay-per-view, and the fact that things ended in 4 DQs really told you that this pay-per-view was nothing more than just a money grab for WWF, because what happened? All this pay-per-view was just set for to help create better storylines leading forward, if you will. So, you know, that's really where that is, and that's the way I'm looking at it. Anyway, that's what happened December 7th, 1997. Now, let's go and flash forward 2 years later, going from 27 years ago to 25 years ago, when in a taping of WCW Thunder in Madison, Wisconsin, man comes up again, Bret Hart and Goldberg defeated Creative Control, the team of Gerald and Patrick, to win the WCW Tag Team Championship. Now, Gerald and Patrick Creative Control, their names were exactly what you think. Gerald Briscoe and Pat Patterson, Patrick Patterson, you know, they were going for that as a way to essentially make fun of Gerald and Patrick as Creative Control, because Gerald and Patrick were in WWF, a couple of old timers, if you will, at this time in the Attitude Era, being Vince's stooges. So they put the belts on him in WCW. This is clearly like a Vince Russo thing. But Bret and Goldberg would defeat Creative Control, as you can see if you're watching it, where Rowdy Piper gets involved and makes himself the referee. And you see Bret Hart slap on the sharpshooter, Goldberg hit the jackhammer, 1-2-3, new tag team champions to be. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of This Day in Professional Wrestling History here on Perched on the Top Rope. You can go back and watch our other videos, youtube.com/perchedonthetoprope. You can also listen to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, Podbay, Red Circle, you name it, we're there. It's Perched on the Top Rope. For all you listeners on Apple and Spotify, make sure you leave a 5-star review. Woo, woo, woo. Yo, don't forget, you can also like and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/perchedonthetoprope. We are 16,000 plus followers strong over there. We're also on X at Perched Top Rope, because Perched on the Top Rope is too long. We are also on TikTok, where we show our funny side, where we have videos of, may he rest in peace, Kevin Sullivan being humped by a dog. You heard that correctly, Kevin Sullivan being humped by a dog. We're also on Instagram and Threads. It's Perched on the Top Rope Podcast. And fans, remember, spoiler freeze, but wait, we have a couple of awesome interviews on the way, just so you guys know. You might remember him in WCW, you might remember him in TNA, but he's one of the only wrestlers to wrestle under WCW, but go work for WWF and come back to WCW right away. Ladies and gentlemen, Kid Romeo, former WCW Tag Team Cruiserweight Champion, is perched on the top rope. And our next interview comes from an interesting limelight of what her shoot job is, and how it's been trying to make it in the world of professional wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, adult entertainer, an independent pro wrestler, Nadia White is perched on the top rope. So fans, now you can remember, spoiler freeze, the way to be. I'm out.